I really like both of those songs. I was hoping to have Carter play one or both of them, but that didn't work out this time. But maybe as we get more and more familiar with them, we'll keep repeating them each time some of the times that I speak, and maybe we can sing them together eventually. I'd like to pause now and invite God into our gathering. He's already here, but I think it's important to just stop and set aside all the distractions that we might have carried in with us and realize what we're here for is to worship today and to hear a message from God's Word, not from whatever Brian Fralick has to say, but what God's Word has to say. So let's bow in prayer. Almighty God, you are so much more precious than any earthly thing we could desire, any gold or silver, any job status that we might achieve, any recognition of this world really doesn't matter if it doesn't honor you. And so we pray now that you'd help us to set aside any distractions that we've brought into this room with us today, that we would just focus this time on you and give it to you as a gift, our offering. We pray that you would make us an empty vessel to be a sanctuary for your holiness. And we invite you. We're sending you an invitation to this party right here, right now. We'd like you to be with us here today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Lost a slide there, I think. So like I said, it's going to be a little hard to tell when does the sermon start, when does it end. Hopefully end before 11:30. That's the goal. But yeah, maybe not. Sometimes not. But this morning I'd like the, where are you going? Where are you going? Emma Grace, where are you going? Nobody said leave yet. This part of the sermon, I still want you here for. This part is the children's sermonette, as you can see on the screen. See? A children's sermonette. This is called Pure. So I'd like the children in the room, again, there's no age limit set by me, so anywhere between a couple months really would be easier to understand the message. If you're a couple months old to couple hundred years old, you're welcome to join us for the children's message, but I'd like you to come up to where you can see and hear clearly if you'd like to be a part of this children's message. You're welcome to stay where you're at if you can see and hear like Superman, but if not, come up close so you can see and hear. This is for you. Children of all ages. You can sit here with me if you want. You can sit on the floor. You can sit in the chairs. But we're talking about the word pure. I wonder some thoughts from the group here. When I say the word pure, what comes to your mind first?
Pure gold.
Pure gold. I like that. Yes. Pure honey, yes, that's what comes to my mind. Pure, what else you got?
Purified water,
that's a good one. If you ask AI to do stream of consciousness exercise with you, it can get scary quick, but
what will happen is it'll, if you say the word pure, it'll come up with things about bottled water, and apparently there's some kind of dating website that's not very nice that's called Pure, and I think that's interesting that even the word pure has been corrupted. When I think of pure, I think of honey. Pure honey. So some of the others here in here maybe thought of the same thing. But even within pure honey, I was doing some thinking about it this week because a friend of mine said, you know what? He happened to mention we were having a casual conversation. He said, you know what? I would like to get some pure local honey. And I thought, yeah, that sounds pretty good. And then I happened to find some the next day at on the checkout counter at a place where we were. And so I picked some up and gave it to him. And he's like, how do you remember that I said I needed some pure honey? I said, well, I was just listening, you know, just listening to you. But I got to thinking about what does pure honey mean and what is the difference between pure honey and raw honey? Well, so I was thinking about that bug box that Weston has, and Michaela bought one too. Weston got a bug box for his birthday in the beginning of September, didn't you? And they put all kinds of things in there. And Michaela wanted one too, so she used some of her own money and got one. I've told my kids several times, but I've never found a picture of what I was talking about. Now I found this picture. This is a bug box like I had when I was growing up. I had a tail light from a vehicle, an old round tail light that had a couple of screw holes, and I put one screw so the tail light would pivot over this opening here. These are bees. So beekeepers, they can order bees and they'll come in the mail. Did you know that? You know, you can get almost anything in the mail. You can get all kinds of stuff through Amazon. You guys ever get anything at Amazon? Does Amazon ever come to your house? Well, I don't know for sure. I think you can get bees on Amazon. I couldn't find them quickly, but you can definitely get them in the mail. And this is how they come, in a box with screens on the side. And I modified a box like this too. Be my bug box then. My grandpa kept bees. He had hives of bees and he would get the honey out. And so when you do that, you gotta order the bees and you dump them in the hives like this guy is doing. And then eventually the bees build up the wax and they put the honey in the little compartments in the wax. And you got to go out there, and if you're a beekeeper, and get these frames, they call it, like this. And the bees aren't too thrilled about that idea. And so they'll try to sting you and protect their hive. And so you can get these things that will smoke. It's got like a billow you squeeze, and it'll puff out smoke and distract the bees. Some people wear these white suits and hats with screens and thick leather gloves to keep from getting stung, because they gotta go out in the hives and get these frames out. There's a person in our East Oregon church, I guess he maybe now goes to the Oregon church most of the time, or helps out at the nursing homes. His name's Gary. Gary keeps bees. Anybody know Gary in this room? Gary doesn't wear the bee suit, and he posts on Facebook sometimes about his adventures with going out and getting honey out. And sometimes he'll show right on Facebook, he gets stung all the time and it doesn't even faze him anymore, it seems like. But, you know, when I was a kid and my grandpa had the bees, I would get to watch from a distance, and they would get the frames, him and a friend of his, they ran this little side business, and they would get the frames out, and they'd get the honeycomb. They get those frames and they cut the wax off with a hot knife, and then the honey starts dripping out. And they can put it in a spinner, and the honey will spin out of there. And they collect it, and it all runs down into a big bucket. And these honeycomb chunks, sometimes they would sell that. And nowadays, you can get quite a bit of money for a chunk of honeycomb about that big, because it's not that easy to get to it. But sometimes I would get little pieces of it, and you could chew on it and suck the honey out. It's kind of like one of those bottle candies that's got the juice in it, only way better. You chew on the wax, and you get the sweet, sweet honey. And so this is what I looked like at about 7 years old. I had a bee suit that my grandma made me, so I could get a little closer to the hives. I didn't have to watch from a distance quite as far. And that's my sister. And she had an outfit that my grandma made too. That's what she's modeling there. But I had the hood that was oversized for me. I had the gloves that were oversized for me. They're supposed to go up to like here, but they went up, you can see, all the way to my armpits, and then still had to be rubber banded. And so that was really cool that my grandma made that for me. Here's a closer picture, so that I could get close and not get stung. You know, you can buy anything on Amazon. I don't know whatever happened to that bee suit that I had. You can get one on Amazon. Something else you can get on Amazon. I'm going to give this away at the end of the service. For anybody that's paying attention, it's a thermal cup that says, "Can I lick it?" It's got the periodic table so you can remember the elements. But yeah, I'm going to go ahead and just, if you bear with me here, I got to get dressed for this sermon. Do you have a suit like this in your closet? See, when you wear the white suit, supposedly bees can't see you. It's like an invisibility suit. This is a two-piecer. Mine was a one-piece. I think that's a better idea, but, you know, this says it was made in China, so you get what you get. I didn't just knock it off, I broke the clip right off. Let's see. There we go. All right. So, supposedly they can't see you, but the bees, I think they can smell from what I understand about bees. And so they can still figure out that somebody's messing with the hive, and that's the reason for this screen, so they don't get in and sting you. But even still, the bees can find the gaps. And I can remember different times when my grandpa was doing the bees, that the bees would find a way in their suits anyway, and they'd have to run out into the cornfield because they're trying to get the bees to go away. So the corn, I guess, distracted them or brushed them off or something. But then you got the gloves. All to avoid getting stung or feeling the sting. Got to suit up. Okay. And you get through all this, and then you got to get the frames, and you got to cut the wax off with the hot knife, and you got to put all the frames in the centrifuge and spin them out, and the honey goes out, and then it flows out of this tap into a bucket, and then that's where you get raw honey. And raw honey sometimes has bee's legs in it, or it's got flecks of leaves or dirt or something, you know, so it's pure, but it's raw still. We joke about the Mott's applesauce, little applesauce cups. When you get that, sometimes you get stems in there, or you get, I call them bug's legs, I don't know what they are, but sometimes you get that, and then you get that in raw honey. So then a lot of people don't like getting bee's legs in there, or bee's knees. I wonder if that's where that saying comes from. It's the bee's knees, raw honey, because sometimes you get a bee's knee in there. But anyway, some people don't like that. So beekeepers will run it through a heater and pasteurize it and run it through some cheesecloth, some really fine mesh to get out any of that impurities. And then you have, welcome, and then you have pure honey. Is what's left after you go through this whole process. You know, I was into magic as a kid too, around the same age that you saw me there. And I used to think that the beehives kind of looked like some of these magic tricks where the lady gets in and they move the pieces around and then she's in a different order. I just thought I'd throw that in there. It always kind of reminded me of that. And I was secretly hopeful that maybe my grandpa would give me some of the hives that he didn't want anymore to make one of these magic tricks so I could shuffle around my lovely assistant or something. And it was around that time, too. Remember we were talking about that one-room schoolhouse, the old days? It was around that time that I'm learning about bees, and I'm interested in magic, and I was about this high, 7 years old. Weston just turned 7, and he's almost exactly the same age right now that I was when I felt a sting. It wasn't a bee sting, but it was the sting of death. Entered our family. I had a baby brother that about a month after I turned 7 died. And he's buried right now, right in this cemetery in Dixon, Illinois, right about here, next to this one-room schoolhouse where my grandma went to school. There's a church upstairs, and it's kind of hard to differentiate where the church begins and the school ends, where the school begins and the church ends. This is a special place for our family because, and you say, wait a minute, cemetery? Why is that a special place? Because this is the place where someday I believe Jesus is going to return and all these graves are going to be opened. And then that sting of death isn't going to be a thing anymore. And so at that young age, I started realizing if this is it, this is not good. And so I got baptized shortly after that because I learned by leaning into our church family at the time, Blessed Hope Bible Church in Rockford, that Jesus has a way for us to remove that sting, to protect us from the sting of death. And so I'm so joyful with you, Natalie, that you've decided to be baptized, and I hope that others of you will also consider that there's this sting that nobody can erase except for Jesus. And we work our whole lives trying to get a little bit of sweetness, you know, a little bit of honey. And I want to give each of your kids one of these, so come up and get one if you'd like, and I want you to help me pass them out to the adults too. I don't know why China put these plastics on there. It's supposed to protect you from something. I don't know. But everybody, make sure you get one. You can take the plastics off. They don't do anything. Take one, make sure every adult gets one, and then you get one. And I want to talk about it just a little bit more, and then you can go to your practice. Pass them out. That's where those tags are. There were supposed to be tags on them, and I was going to put the word pure on there. I couldn't find the tags, so there they are. Make sure everybody's got one. And there's some beads that go on these, little pendants, and some string and a tag. So I want you to see me after church. Make sure you get one of each of those to go with your little honey bear. And I want you to write the word pure on there. I was going to do it for you, but I couldn't find the tags. Now I see they're here. But I want you to see me after church and get one of those. Does everybody have a honey bear? Anybody not get one yet? Anybody missing a lid? We ended up with an extra lid. Okay, you can toss those in the box there. All right. So, before you go to your play practice, I just want to say a little bit more about these bees, the honey bears that I gave you. Right now they're empty. So what you put in there is completely up to you. They're supposed to be for honey, pure honey. In fact, you've got the tags, or you're going to have the tags later, to label them pure. But whatever you put in there is up to you. We've been talking with Carter about the importance of staying on top of schoolwork and those kinds of things that every high schooler deals with, but we've been talking a little bit about GPAs. And at the beginning of the school year, you have no schoolwork turned in, so you have
simultaneously 100% in the class, and you also have 0% in the class. You've got an empty grade book. Right now, I've given you an empty vessel for you to put something in. And God has given us a life, and we get to choose what we put in it. And we get to choose how pure it is. I bought some honey recently for my office, to keep in my office. And I was at work when I did it, and I didn't have a whole lot of time. We're allowed to leave and go get food, but I didn't have a whole lot of money that day. So I went to the Dollar General on Jefferson Street in Rockford, and that's an adventure. You need some protective equipment when you go there. But I was just going to get some bread and some peanut butter and some honey to make a peanut butter and honey sandwich. Who likes those? I like those. And so at first glance I thought, okay, there's some honey, and it's, wow, that's really cheap. It's like a couple of cents, 59 cents or something. And it looks just like any honey, but when you look close, it says it's Little Bear blend syrup. It doesn't even say honey on the label. It looks like honey, but it ain't honey. When you look at the back, at the ingredients, it's a blend of honey and corn syrup. Mostly corn syrup. Look at the ingredients here. First ingredient is corn syrup. Honey is not even the first one. So this is not pure honey. This is mixed with some other nonsense. I know this is hard to read, but I'm going to read it for you, and then you kids are dismissed after this. Mark chapter 10, verse 17 starts a story. It says, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Maybe he had experienced that sting of death in his family. Maybe he had been to the cemetery recently and saw, hey, I got to know how to have some other plan than this. And he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? I thought Jesus' response is interesting. There's some deep theology here. So we can teach to all the levels in the one-room school with this one passage. We can teach to the kids, and we can teach to the master's level theologians in the room. Verse 18 says, why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother. The young man thinks he's got it. He says, teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said. Go sell everything you have and give to the poor. And you'll have treasure in heaven, then come follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad. Because he had great wealth. Now, when we're kids, we probably don't have great wealth.
But I can tell you, your parents are thinking about reasons why they can or can't do certain things that they'd like to do for you or with you because they gotta earn a living. They're thinking of reasons why they can or can't do things for the church because they gotta earn a living. They gotta get vested in that pension. You know? The world tells us wealth and security, financial security, you gotta have insurance, you gotta have this and that in case this or that happens. Jesus said, get rid of all that stuff, then come follow me. Now, I'm not saying that everybody should quit their jobs and do this or that, but the man was asking Jesus, what should I do to have this eternal life? He said, well, get rid of the stuff that's distracting you. Get rid of those impurities. Then you'll have an empty vessel that you can put pure honey in and come follow me. So I want you to think about that as you go about your day. What might Jesus be asking you to get rid of so that you can have an empty vessel for the purity he would rather have for you? You guys can go to the play practice if you'd like. We'll continue on with some more scripture and thoughts and worship. For those of you that stay. I'd like to ask now, what prayer or praise concerns, and we kind of touched on this a little bit earlier, but now that we've had some reframing of our minds, let's talk together. What are some things that are going on in your life that we should pray about together, that are either going really well and we want to give God the credit for right now, or maybe aren't going so well, or you're worried about, or maybe that's holding you down. Maybe something you've got in your honey bear right now that's preventing it to be filled with the pure joy that Jesus would rather have for you. This week, yesterday, was Hannah's friend Lisa was supposed to be her 6th wedding anniversary to her husband, who, as many of you know, her husband was murdered a few months back, maybe close to a year ago now, New Year's Eve. So that was a hard day. She's a young widow. She's there on the left. A longer marriage, but still a sad situation, still a sting that's happened this week is Jimbo Calloway. Many of you know him in Oregon. He's a well-known person in, I would say, most of Ogle County. He's helped many people with their plumbing issues and other things. Active member of the church in Oregon. He passed away unexpectedly. I shouldn't say passed away. I don't like saying passed away. He didn't pass anywhere. He died. And that stung. It stung his wife. It stung our church family. They had a young daughter, Sarah, who about 16 years ago, approximately, was in a bad car accident and died when she was, I think, 16 or 17. So Jimbo's death brings back all kinds of memories for the church family, for their family, and that stings. And it makes us wonder about our own mortality and about how anything could happen to us at any time, that we've got young drivers in this room, we've got old drivers in this room, and anything could happen at any time. So I'll talk a little bit more about it in a few minutes, but the Bible specifically instructs us to pray for and take care of widows and orphans. So here's two, Joyce Calloway and Lisa, we can pray for.
What else? This would be, normally we call this the prayer and praises. I think I saw another hand.
On a happy note, and you already know this, but our family has been able to spend the past 2 weekends with some old friends that we haven't seen for quite a few years, so that was a good time.
For sure. Craig and Shirley Wagner. They're really Michael and Linda's age, but they were sort of like an extension of or adoptive parents to us while we were in Atlanta for a period of time. Craig was a pastor in the Church of God. He's retired now, but very nice couple, very thoughtful couple, good listener. They're good listeners, great advisors. When you have something that you're worried about, these are the kind of people that you want to have around. I'm pretty sure it was Craig that came when I was having a minor surgery in Atlanta. These are the kind of people that are good to have as friends. Last night, we got to go to a retirement party and we saw Jenny and Felipe Rodriguez. I haven't seen Felipe in quite a few years, but Jenny retired and had a really nice party at their house in Lost Nation. And so that was a good time too. A lot of good memories from state camp and Felipe, and I can picture in my head a picture from state camp where he's wearing a giant koosh ball that got ripped. He's wearing it on his bald head and just has a way of making everybody laugh. Any other prayers or praises? Sir? In the Philippines. Let's go ahead and bow. I know that some may be watching the clock. We're already over time, so we won't stay too much longer. But this is an important time of our worship, is to say, God, even if maybe we'd rather be somewhere else right now, we're going to pause and praise you and seek your help with these things that we've mentioned. So let's bow and pray. Almighty God, we recognize you as
all-powerful, all-knowing, all-understanding when sometimes we don't even understand what to pray about. We know that you rejoice with us in the happy times. We know that you are sad with us when we are sad. We see that from your scripture that Jesus wept, and Jesus is a picture of your nature. So we know that you understand our emotions. We're mindful now of many situations. We're mindful of Lisa and this sad milestone to have an anniversary that her husband is not present for. And that sting. We're mindful of Jimbo's death and how that's affecting Joyce and his, the rest of his family and our church family and even just the community. We've lost someone that was a fun person to have around, and that stings, Lord. We're certainly praying for and asking for your intervention in this brain injury of this young man that the Rochelle community is familiar with, and it's scary, and it stings to realize we aren't invincible. And even strong athletes can be taken down in just a snap of a finger. We're mindful of the stressful things that are going on around the world, in Israel and Gaza and all the politics involved with that. Things that seem like on one hand we should be happy about, that it seems like there's maybe a peace agreement, but then there's people in this world that can't even be happy about that because it doesn't align with their politics. Lord, help us to not be like that. Help us to not be so focused on politics that we refuse to acknowledge the good. Help us to not be so focused on whatever is distracting us that we refuse to acknowledge the good that you have given us. I pray for Stephen. I don't know what's going on, God, but you do. I pray that you would intervene. Pray for the Philippines and the other places where we're seeing these natural disasters and things. It seems like maybe are picking up, like we're seeing more of this than we used to, or it feels like that sometimes. And I think the Bible says that's going to happen, that the earth itself will groan and be disturbed by the evil of this world. A lot of times when we hear the word pure lately, it's in response to something evil. People will say it's pure evil. But you, God, are pure good. And we reach out to hold on to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I was going to speak about Nahum, continuing the Minor Prophets series. I'm not going to give the whole sermon, but I'll give you the really quick version so we can be done by 11:45. Nahum, like a lot of the other minor prophets, He's talking about the evil that's going on in the world and God's response to it. Nahum is addressing Nineveh. A lot of us are familiar with Nineveh from another story. I don't know if you can see it. We got a guy getting about to be swallowed by a fish, big fish. Most people call it a whale, but the Bible calls it a giant fish, a big fish. It says, hop in, loser, we're doing God's will. Jonah was supposed to go preach the salvation message to Nineveh. He's like, no way. You want me to go over there? I'm going to go that way. And God had other plans. He said, well, I'm going to put you in a fish. So Nineveh ended up getting a salvation message from Jonah. Did I say Noah earlier? Okay. It's Jonah, not Noah. They ended up getting a salvation message from Jonah, and many converted and were saved. But the book of Nahum happens about 150 years later, and the evil had increased again, and Nineveh had gone back to their old way of doing things. They were the capital city of Assyria. Assyria is still in the news now. So the Israelites and Nineveh, they didn't have a happy relationship. They were persecuting. Nineveh was persecuting the Israelites, God's chosen people. And they'd had enough. And so Nahum speaks to, I think, the slow cooker of God's anger and wrath. It's answering that question of, how long are you going to let this go on, God? How long are you going to let this evil happen? Jonah went and preached to them, and they were saved, but now they're back to their old business again. We thought it was going to be peaceful, but it's not. Sounds like today. Peace, peace, but there will be no peace. Not until Jesus returns. So the book of Nahum describes how God has said, I've been patient, I'm slow to anger, but enough's enough. And I'm going to put an end to Nineveh. So get ready. And that's pretty much what Nahum is about in three chapters. It's 2.5 pages in my Bible. So I'd encourage you to read it this week if you haven't read Nahum in a while, and I'm guessing you haven't. But go ahead and read that this week, 2.5 pages. Now, before we do our closing song, I want to ask a question to see how many of you are paying attention. And the first one with the correct answer.